Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Gas prices, they go up, they go down. Sometimes the reasons are less than clear. Sometimes things just don't make sense. Prices are up this week in Michigan, with AAA saying it's a result of the refinery shutdowns on the East Coast due to Hurricane Irene. To talk about why prices are so volatile and where we're likely to go from here, I'm joined by Jim Williams. He's an energy economist at WTRG Economics, which provides oil and gas consulting and analysis services. Welcome to the program, Jim.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Now, it's
pleasure.
Thank you for joining me. You know, it's bad enough that oil prices are relatively high, but when we have these storms and refineries get shut down and, bam, prices go up, isn't that ultimately good financial news for oil companies?
I don't know that it's really a good financial move for them one way or the other. Unfortunately, it's just supply and demand. When you have a short-term interruption, there are some local shortages. You don't normally carry enough inventory to take care of something like that, and you'll get a little blip in prices. I think you will find that those prices come down very fast because we really didn't have many refineries shut down. We had some slow back, but cut back a little bit. But also, Not all the gasoline by a long shot used on the East Coast is refined there. A lot of it is coming through pipelines out of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Some stuff, even I think from Indiana, moves at least somewhat eastern.
Well, inventory is, in fact, the issue. You know, some say that oil companies have kept the number of refineries to a minimum for exactly this reason, that any slight stress on the system causes a shortfall of refined gas and only increases their profits even more. How close is that to the truth?
I don't think it's very close to the truth. Right now, we have been running at a refineries at nationwide at an average of about 90%. If you ask a refiner what he or she wants to be running at, they will tell you they want to be running close to 98 or 100% capacity because they're a lot more efficient. They use the same amount of fuel to boil the oil down and distill it, if you will. At 90% or 80%, it costs just as much to run it at 100%. It's, so they are more profitable at a higher rate. They shut down because they were worried the refineries would get flooded and things would blow up. I mean, it's, we've all at some time made the mistake of dumping water into boiling oil. On the stove.
right. I'm talking to Jim Williams. He's an energy economist at WTRG Economics. Jim, there are only a handful of major American oil companies, and they're making record profits. Certainly can't blame them as corporations for doing so, but doesn't that mean that American consumers are likely to be taken advantage of at the gas pump?
Actually, if you allow American producers, whether they're small ones or large ones, to receive world prices, if you don't argue about that in terms of the oil price itself, that's where most of the profit is. The profits on refining are very, very slim, except in a small area of the U.S. where, because there are very high inventories of crude, the price of oil is depressed there. And those refiners have been taking advantage of it. But in general, on refining, maybe they're making 20, 30 cents a gallon that they refine it.
I see. Where,
that's not bad to convert a product.
Where is most of the profit then made?
Profit right now is made on producing oil, drilling a hole in the ground and ending up with high oil prices.
I see. And that's so basically these foreign countries where we get our oil is where most of the money ends up.
Sure.
I want to ask you about peak oil and the economic growth of countries like China and India. Do you believe these apocalyptic predictions that world economies, including our own, may face an inevitable collapse due to the growing demand for oil and a supply that's going to dramatically drop in the coming decades?
No, I don't. Two reasons. One, I think there's some flaws in the peak oil theory. I mean, ultimately, we will meet peak oil. But every time that we think we have, we end up with a new technology. Like right now, the horizontal drilling in the shale formations that you're hearing about all of the natural gas for is also being very successful in producing oil that we couldn't produce, or the industry couldn't produce, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And so all of a sudden we have new oil in the U.S., and we are our oil production is actually increasing.
But that's not going to replace
steady decline.
That wouldn't replace the massive amount of oil we consume, is it?
Not yet. And it would take a long time for that to happen. But there's another way to replace it. We could, for example, be driving natural gas-powered vehicles. And the big inhibition there is having natural gas service stations. You know, that's a big inhibitor.
Sure.
And number two is a little bit better way to store the gas on board so it doesn't waste so much and you can drive, get the same distance out of a tank full of natural gas.
I want to ask you, the fighting in Libya that we're seeing and the general instability that the Middle East is undergoing with the Arab Spring, that has been blamed for some of the gas price increases we've seen. What kind of a future impact do you anticipate from these revolutions on the price we're paying for gas?
Well, if we have another one, it's going to go up. You know, and I can list the countries for you that you have to worry about. And really, the list is all of OPEC. Venezuela is somewhat unstable with Chavez and his cancer. United Arab Emirates is pretty stable. Saudi Arabia is pretty stable. But then you get to Nigeria, Libya, Iraq, Iran, Ecuador, Angola, Algeria. You know, and obviously we've got the problem in Libya. Any one of these countries could have a major problem and could stop exporting crude oil.
And that would, of course, bring our prices up. About a minute left here, a little less, actually. Labor Day weekend's coming up. And there's clearly a steep increase in demand for gas. And now we see this pattern now. Every time there's any kind of a demand increase, the price goes up right away. That didn't seem to be the case in the past. Why is this a standard situation now of an immediate price increase ahead of demand use that we've seen for decades?
I think it's more the reaction to the storm. And by the way, the reaction to the storm, a lot of things key off of the price of gasoline at New York Harbor. And another problem that they had in that region is that New York Harbor was closed for over a day. And so, you know, so inventories are a little low. They're going to come back up. I would be surprised by Labor Day if your prices aren't actually lower.
Well, let's certainly,
but it doesn't come right back down. I think you'll get lucky on it.
Well, let's hope so. Jim Williams, an energy economist at WTRG Economics. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Coming up.